Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin with that verse 41, but as we have each time here been reading back from verse 37, because it just brings us, and we're going to read down through verse 47. So please follow along with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come into your house and enjoy this time, and please that you will just guide and lead us, Father, and give us this sweet spirit that we need, and that we can have the evidence and the witness of those that are around us, and that they can see who we are, and that we are a child of God, and we've been saved by your precious blood, and we are here not to honor and lift ourselves up and bring attention to ourselves, but we're here, Father, to praise you and to honor you. And so please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us today through your precious word. I thank you that we have that these folks have come to hear your word. And if they have come and do not know you as their Savior, they have been coming and but still have not accepted, not surrendered, and not turned unto you and realized that they're lost and need a Savior. Today be the day that they make that turn and come to you and call upon you and begin serving and praising and enjoying that precious day. Father, just speak to hearts now today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we have enjoyed these precious words, or I sure have, I hope that you have as well. And with that 40th verse, "with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation." We covered that last week. And then we come to verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word." I want to stop right there. That word gladly, word gladly means freely. And so as we find that God does not force, as many religions today, you bow down to this certain religion or you're put to death. Our God offers to us salvation. It is a free gift, but it's offered to all that will receive it. And if you choose not to, then your condemnation will be spending a lifetime separated from God and also condemned to hell for eternity. That's your choice. That's your decision. I hope that you surrender to Jesus. I hope that you call upon the Lord Jesus. But we are not forced to receive the word. we're to receive it freely, joyfully. And we accept what is being said. We believe. And that's what happened here. They believed, gladly received his word. I have spent the last couple of weeks in a couple different schools, a couple different classes. And the teaching in those classes was to learn the concept, learn the new idea, learn about a product, and then not only to learn about it, but their purpose was to sell you on it, that you believed what they were telling you. You accepted that concept. You accepted that idea. You accepted that this product that they're building is the best on the market, and we want you to believe that. We want you to believe that. And so I have spent 3 days at one school and one in a day at another school, and that was their, that was what they were there to do, was to show their what was out there, again, their concept, and so it was to learn this new idea, this new concept. Well, I'm afraid that today that is the principle that churches use today. They are here to sell an idea, to sell a concept. And I think you'll find that your mega churches, many of the churches in the area have come with the ideas of Christian rock, and they'll have a couple different services, one contemporary and one the not so contemporary, and then they their whole purpose is to sell you on what they have. And once you come in and you get to feeling that the beat that's with it, and you get to listening to the music, and you get to doing all these things, you're there for one purpose: not to get saved, but to be entertained. And so you come back the next week because last week you felt pretty good. You were entertained. You know, I may even come to some Bible study a little bit because that's entertaining. I'm enjoying that. I'm being entertained. Well, that's not what these folks that were attending Peter's preaching the day of Pentecost, that's not what they were there for. They were not to be sold a new concept. They were not to be given a new idea and principle. And so, now here's what we're going to do. Peter was there to tell them about a person that died for them. Why did that person have to die? Because of their sin. Now, that is what's lacking in the churches today. They're coming, they're receiving a new concept of religion. Come as you are and come and feel comfortable. And if you don't feel comfortable, tell us what's going to make you feel comfortable so you'll come back again. And the only thing that they want, the only thing they want is your money. That's the only reason they're doing it. There's no other reason behind it. There's power and there's strength and there's control, all these things. But what they're missing is what the Word of God has to offer. And that's the truth, the Word of God. What did these folks receive when they were listening to Peter preach? They found what they were looking for. But not because they were looking. Now, let's go back. And just a couple of weeks ago, we were back at John chapter 16, verse 8. Because let's see what happens when you come into the house of God and the Word of God is preached. Here is what the purpose, the reason the Holy Spirit is here. And as we look to John chapter 16, and we read the 8th verse, and we'll read all the way down through verse 11. And it says, "And when he is come," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. of righteousness because they go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, we went through this. But when we got to this place here where it said they gladly received the word, I wanted us to be reminded, I need to be reminded, that is, they did not come and applaud and oh, I'm so thankful for what you're giving us, and as if it was selling them an item or making them understand and wanting them to believe in a concept or in an idea or a principle or a product. You know, a salesman, you've got to believe in what you're selling if you're going to be a good salesman. Well, we don't ever want to be, as Christians, a salesman. Because what I have to give you is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not selling that. I am giving that. Do I believe in it completely? My yes. But when I tell you that Jesus saves, it's because the Spirit of God must convict your heart. That's first. Reprove of sin or convict. That's first. To reprove or convict as a judge or attorney presents evidence to bring a conviction, then that leads to a decision. The second purpose, reason, the responsibility of the Holy Spirit is of righteousness. And not only my sin is subtracted, but righteousness is added. And it's not my righteousness, it's God's righteousness that is given to me. And then the third, of judgment, we have been judged and declared guilty, lost sinners. We live in a world that has already been judged and found guilty. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But we know the last half of that verse, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in John 16:13 says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you unto all truth. That's what these 3,000 souls that were added to this church, this is what they heard. They listened to Peter, and the Spirit of God convicted them of their sin, and they needed to repent. They needed to turn to the Lord Jesus. And once they acknowledged their sin, then the calling of this righteousness, the opportunity of salvation came, and they said, yes, Lord Jesus, we want to be born again. We want to be saved, because they realized and recognized that the Spirit of God was here to convict us of sin, to bring us his righteousness, and then also to help us to realize we are guilty and condemned. That's not a concept. That's not an idea. That's telling people the Word of God, and that's explaining to people that Jesus saves. And these churches today that are drawing all these people in, they are being deceived because their ears are being tickled. They're being deceived. They're being lied to, and they're being taken down the road of destruction. And they just as well join the Muslims. They just as well join the Mormons. They just as well join some cult for what they're involved in. This is serious. We need to find and get back to the preaching of the day of Pentecost, when that Word of God was proclaimed, and when the Word was given, they freely received it joyfully. They believed the Word of God. These places today don't even give the Word of God, let alone responding to it. Then they followed this with baptism. Now, I don't know if you have something pictured in your mind that 3,000 people were saved, and so 3,000 people rushed down to the river and they were baptized that day. You help me with how that 120 in the upper room can baptize 3,000and take care of it. I don't know whether it was done that same day or in the next few days, but they were obedient to follow the Lord in baptism, scriptural baptism, going down into the water and coming back up out of the water to be to be identified with Christ. And today, once again, that in itself has taken over the personal relationship of the Lord Jesus is baptism. I was baptized. We need to follow the Lord in baptism, but only after you have received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart, and we begin to have this wonderful walk with the Lord Jesus. But we need to understand that when they gladly, when they freely, they joyfully received the word, it was because Peter stood there and did, it wasn't because he gave this wonderful speech and they were all moved and I want to be a part of that. No, it's because by Peter preaching the word of God, the hearts were convicted by the Holy Spirit and folks come by faith to Jesus and was saved. That's what happened. They first saw their sin. That's what's missing in the churches today. The seeing of their sin. And if you're not lost, there's no salvation. You've got to be lost before you can be saved. And so if folks don't realize that they're in need of a Savior because of their sin, I don't care what they say or how many times they say it or how many times they get baptized or how many Bible studies they go to, they're lost, they're dying, and they're going to hell because they do not have Jesus as their Savior. First, the Spirit of God comes to reprove or convict you of sin. That's the beginning. It's got to start there. If it starts anyplace else, it's of no value. Next, you'll notice in these verses of Scripture, we come and they gladly received the word, were baptized, and were there added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls. That day, they became the member of the church. That's what happened that day. They became a member of the church, the body of believers. This is not just any group. This is the church. And that's the first that needs to come. After you have gotten saved, if you didn't get saved in a church, and that's really the responsibility of the flock, the believers. We're to go out, we're to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then once they're saved, we're to bring them into church. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now, it doesn't, because most people, you want to witness somebody, why, you know what, just a second, I'll call the preacher. We need to know that a shepherd can't produce sheep. Now, I too am part of the flock, so it is my responsibility to tell people about the Lord Jesus and be saved. But the sheep, the flock, you're the ones that witness. You're the ones that are testifying. I'm here to feed the flock. I'm here to grow the flock. I'm here, that's my purpose, and grow you spiritually. And so, you see, the Scripture, and Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you don't need to turn there, it says, "Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord." No Christian should ever unite with a church or a group or stay in a church unless the pastor of that group, of that assembly, preaches the Word of God. I'm talking about the King James Bible. I'm talking about teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. First of all, and you'll notice that the doctrine of that church probably follows what that preacher is preaching. And if the truth is not preached, please do not waste your time. One man said that it is a very dangerous thing and it's an expensive thing Now, I'd never heard that word expensive. That was kind of a different term for me. But I always knew it was a dangerous thing to be somewhere where the man did not preach the word and the church didn't stand for the word. But when we stop and think about it, that word expensive fits, because the cost is very, very great if you choose to sit in a church that does not preach the word of God. And what you're doing is those folks that you are associating with, probably most of them are not saved. Few of them may be saved. But when you are in a place that does not preach the word of God and you stay there, you're acknowledging that what is being preached there is right. That's what you're saying. Well, I don't agree with their baptism, and I know that they don't believe in eternal security, but, you know, I've been here most of my life. I love the people. I love the church. I you know, it's where my parents went, so I need to go there. What's so expensive about staying there? What's so expensive about staying there is that you are condemning those that you are around outside the church, because they're thinking that that church is fine because that's where you're going, and you're basically sending all your children to hell. That's what you're doing. Now, is that enough cost for you? It's sure enough cost for me. We need to recognize that we need to be in a church that preaches the word of God. And don't sit there and, well, the church doesn't, their doctrine's messed up, but the preacher's good. That can't be. That can't be. Because that preacher should never be there if that church is mixed up in their doctrine. And so those two are going to meet here one of these days. Please. Look to the Word of God. See that the preacher preaches the word of God and that the church stands upon the word of God, because it is a condemning and damning thing to not follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be caught up in some concept or some idea that some religion has developed and it makes you feel good. Stay away from it and be a witness and testimony for the Lord Jesus. This is the first church. This first church came from the preaching of the Word of God. You don't need a system. You don't need an organization. You don't need a plan or a theory. You need to preach the Word of God. Because you preach the Word of God, folks get saved. What's the first thing that happens when you preach the Word of God? You're convicted of sin. I don't want that. I'm not going by. I didn't feel comfortable in that church. If you're lost, you shouldn't feel comfortable here. You should not feel comfortable. You should come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. We should preach the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension, and the coming again of our Lord. That is the foundation of this spiritual building that we are in today. That's the foundation. The Scripture says in verse 42 that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Continuing steadfastly. What a lesson. You want to grow? Then you stay steadfastly in the Word of God. Looking to the Word. Listening to the Word. Standing up on the Word. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. In these verses of Scripture and this continuing in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, this doctrine is in teaching. They were following the Word of God that had been taught by the apostles. And we have the Word of God here. We need to look at it. Verse 28, we're going to start at Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The key for every believer, I believe, in verse 29 is that word learn. Learn of me. Learn of who? Learn of the Lord Jesus. Get to know the Lord Jesus, the one you call your personal Savior. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Learn of him. Study his precious word. That's how you're going to recognize that I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. You want rest? Learn of me. You want to have the yoke be easy, that load to be easy? Learn of me. That's what it's telling you to do. And so, again, continue. They went day by day, the scripture says. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Each day they learned the Word of God. They enjoyed the Word of God. A couple more words here, and then we'll end the day. Not only is there continuing steadfastly, there is the doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship is communion, having something, things in common, and that's what we enjoy with the Word of God. Let's go to Amos, Amos chapter 3. Even the Old Testament gets involved in this. Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos. If you went to Obadiah, you're too far. Amos 3:3. We're back to finding a body of believers that you want to fellowship with. Can two walk together except they agree? Can two walk together except they agree? You know, being unequally yoked. One, the husband's saved and the wife's not, or vice versa. Unequally yoked. They always will have a conflict. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to walk together. We need to be in agreement. Will we have some small differences over some doctrine of the Scripture? Yes, because there are some minor doctrines that we can have this thought of and this idea of. But what we need to really understand and we cannot differ on is the verbal inspiration of the Scripture, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, salvation by grace and grace alone, and Jesus is coming again. Those things. If you question any of those, if you have a problem with any of those, then please repent and turn to the Lord. If you choose not to repent and turn to the Lord, then please find another place. Because that's what we stand on here. And we're not moving. We're not leaving. We need to stand upon the Word of God. We have some scripture verses in Titus and 1 John, but we'll look to those next week. Get on to the breaking of bread, get on to the prayers, the fear that comes. There is so much here. But please, the adding that took place this day was not because Peter was such a wonderful, wonderful preacher. It's because he spoke a wonderful, wonderful message. And that was the Word of God. That's what touched their hearts. That's what changed them. Because the Spirit of God was able to convict them of their sin. And then they turned and accepted the righteousness of God, understanding that judgment is coming. And if we do not accept Jesus as our Savior, there is only one other way, and that's the judging hand of God. And so please, come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Serve Him. walk after him. Learn of him, as the one scripture told us. Because you want that yoke to be light, and you want to have rest, and you want to have peace. It's all found in this book, because this book directs us and gives us everything we need concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have a religion. We have a relationship. And that relationship is with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Get to know Him. Enjoy Him. Fellowship with Him. Follow His Word, not man's. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You today that we can come, and that Antichrist is out there, and it's pulling families apart. It's deceiving folks, and it's all in declaration of to come and to feel good. And Father, please, we love studying the Word here, whether it be this morning for Sunday school or church or Sunday night or Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday night. We come and we love opening up Your precious Word and searching Your Word and growing and learning of You. Please, dear Lord, save those that are lost today that are here. They've never realized, they've made the statement, but they didn't realize that, hey, I wasn't, didn't even know I was lost. Now I do. Please, Lord, save me. And Father, grow us. Help us to have Your wisdom and understanding. We can walk each day serving You. Speak to our hearts, Father. Bring folks that want the truth into fellowship with us, that we can grow together. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.